Welcome to the Visionaries Podcast, sponsored by Alchemy and hosted by yours truly, Jim Roos. This podcast series shines a light on financial institutions at the cutting edge of digital transformation, providing you with the tips and tricks to elevate your digital game. Nothing will ever beat the service you can receive in a conversation with a real human being. But in an age where people can connect through their mobile devices or through their computer more than ever, data and analytics can support engagement across the entire customer journey. Beyond risk and fraud detection, customer data and analytics can now monitor the financial health and needs of customers and members, including small business clients. My guest in the Visionaries Podcast is Matthew Trioli, Vice President of Digital Channels at the $1 billion asset Florida Credit Union in Gainesville, Florida. Matthew shares how data can personalize banking services and drive member engagement with improved results. The banking industry and consumers who utilize financial services products generate an enormous amount of data daily. Analytics software has changed the way this information is processed, making it possible to identify trends and patterns, which then can be used to inform good business decisions at scale. So, Matthew, let's start with your career at Florida Credit Union. You know, I noticed that you've been with the firm for quite some time, like I think 2 decades. What I also noticed is you've been there since the beginning of your career. I mean, you start off as a teller and move through the organization. So let's take the easy question first. How has the banking industry changed? And specifically, how has Florida Credit Union changed over the last 20 years?
Yeah, so we have grown tremendously. We've gotten the opportunity to move through different milestones in our asset size and our membership size. We've been able to reach more members. We've grown the number of counties that we're serving in Florida. You know, it's been tremendous, the amount of growth, the loan growth and the employee growth, the size of our organization and even the building that we're in and the branches that we've put up. So we've grown tremendously in the last 20 years. You know, it was interesting in terms of, digital presence too. We've seen a lot of that change through this time period. You know, when we started, you had the desktop application for your online banking and it did your various basic transactions, right? And then we got to see the introduction of the mobile app, and the mobile app was kind of watered down, right? Your desktop continued to grow, but your mobile app maybe only had some of those basic functionalities because you didn't want it to take up a lot of space on people's phones, right? And now kind of everything is, you can do everything everywhere. Like, you want your members to self-serve in any medium. You actually have a digital first presence, right? Where everything's going out to that mobile app because that's the medium that people are using. So it's really been fascinating to see that growth over the last 20 years and that change and develop as to how people are interacting with us.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm a legacy banker from the very beginning of time, several more years than you. But it's interesting, too, because the credit union industry has had to change so much. I mean, they were really known, as community banks were, of being so close to their members, so close to their customers, knowing each one of them by name, seeing them every week, seeing them sometimes every day, depends on the consumer. We also, you know, back in my day, back for even further, customers came in to update their passbooks and to also do their all deposits. Nothing was electronic. Well, this has changed everything. And as you're building the base for the future of digital financial services, you really have to look at data analytics as being the core, because you still want to have the same level of service, even though it may be delivered in a new way or new products are offered. So how does Florida Credit Union prioritize data and analytics within the organization?
We prioritize it. Obviously, it's a base of our decisions, right? We're looking at the data and analytics. We're looking at how our members are interacting with us. We're looking at what type of information they're looking for. What are they needing? You know, we're hearing or seeing through the different channels how they're using us. And then what we're having to do is respond, you know, in building out that journey that they're looking for, building out those services that they're needing, and still maintaining that connection, like you talked about. You know, we have several members. They love coming in. They love seeing their branch staff, and they love connecting with them personally. And that's really spanning across generations too. necessarily see that one way or another. People want to interact with other people. And so we have to find ways, not just because we've grown in size and because we have that, we've had to take the data and analytics, and we've had to try to still reach them and still make that personal connection with them.
So we talk about using data analytics to make a better experience, to know the customers better, the members better, and all these other elements, but actually talking about it and deploying it and doing it are many times vastly different. How long have you been really looking at the data and analytics as a critical tool? And how did you move from simply having stacks of insight to actually being able to use it in communicating and engaging with your members?
We've been collecting data and utilizing data for a while in the marketing sense, right? But, you know, I would say the focus on really bringing the data in has probably started for us somewhere in the 2015-16 realm, trying to gather the data together. You know, one of the things we've built a data warehouse of sorts, where we're bringing in information from all of our different partners and then different information we have. And then we have staff members that try to build those linkages for us. You know, I can go in and talk to someone in our IT organization and say, you know, I'm looking to see what kind of usage we have on this and how do we compare it to another facet of, you know, the digital journey or the organization. And, you know, can you provide for me how people are doing it? And so we've had, you know, the last few years really, really zeroed in on that and worked through that and have people dedicated to providing some of that data to us.
You know what? It's interesting. Research has shown that consumers don't mind sharing data if they believe they're going to get some value from that, if there's trust. And, you know, we all share data to different degrees. I'm amazed how much we share on Amazon, for instance. I'm amazed how much we share just over the counter at times. But there are some people that don't feel comfortable sharing. Obviously, the consumers that you serve, the members that are at a credit union, often are somewhat older. They're more locally based. How do you build trust with your members to share deeper levels of insight with you on a daily basis?
I think that's multi-avenues, right? I mean, you can do it digitally through education, blogs or various educational pieces that we send out digitally, but also that personal connection that we talked about too. You know, that's building that trust also for those people that are coming into the branch. The ones that can't, we're working through the digital channels to try to build that trust. But I think it has to be a multi-pronged approach. We can't just take one avenue and say, we're going to do it this way. We have to look at our segments of our different membership and say, okay, for this type of membership, that's that personal connection. We need to be able to provide the service levels personally for that via through the phone or through a chat or through a personal engagement at the branch. You know, we have to be able to flex on that to meet the different people's needs. But I would say that we also need to kind of take a holistic approach to that facet, to really connecting with them and building that trust. There is some inherent trust, I feel, with a banking organization. You know, you have some of that inherently. They trust you enough to put their money with you. And then really what we're doing is maintaining that trust through educating them, through having personal experiences with them, through offering additional services built into our digital journey. I think a good case for that would be, you know, having a good example, maybe a real-time payments type situation being embedded within your application compared to them going to a website of any company or some large conglomerate and using it, right? I think that provides, people will still do it and that meets the need. But I think when you build that trust by putting these services available to them that they need, you're meeting their needs, you're communicating with them, you're educating them, you're working with them, and then they're just going to continue to be able to provide that information to you.
You know, when we have these podcasts, we talk about all these good news stories and the things organizations are doing. But, you know, I'm not that far away from working in a financial institution to realize nothing is nearly as smooth as it seems. What challenges have you faced, let's say in the last 12 years, I guess, or coming up on 13 years, that you've seen around taking data and analytics and deploying them for your members' benefit? What are some of the challenges you have faced, maybe even in getting the leadership of your organization to buy into the fact that you've got to go elsewhere to manage these data analytics platforms, or maybe just solving some of the challenges? What are some of the hurdles you've faced?
Some of the baseline hurdles that we face are not having the information available. Sometimes you get very far. You get far with it. You take in the data. People have analyzed the data. You're looking back through and you're creating linkages to it and seeing how your members are interacting with you. But then you're like, well, what about this? You know, how are they doing this? And when you go back to the data, you realize you don't have that. it's not something that's readily available to you. So then you're having to try to make an inference or make an assumption as to how this piece would work, you know. And then sometimes taking that data and displaying it in a way that people can understand. You know, I'm always amazed. It's really fascinating. You know, we have a progressive leadership and they're in tune with everything that's going on. And it's really interesting because I sometimes get the opportunity to take things to them. And they see it, and they see something in that data that I didn't see. And I'm like, man, how did you see that? What did you, you know, I missed that, you know, and that's neat too. You know, it's a great learning experience for us, right? But also, you know, would I list that as a challenge? Yeah, sometimes, because if I'm looking at something and analyzing something to build a case for a new product or a new use case that we want to develop, and I miss it, then maybe there's some extra work to do there.
You know, it's interesting. One of the biggest hurdles that we've seen in the industry in the past was that organizations other than the biggest organizations really couldn't put together a data and analytics platform that was usable. Yes, whenever we had questions, we could find that information. But when it came to actually deploying it for the consumer's benefit, for the member's benefit, it's virtually impossible. Well, now with new technology, new modern tools, partnering with organizations that have these skill sets, you know, even the smallest organizations can do what used to be the purveyance of only the biggest firms. So what benefits do partners bring to the table at FC, at Florida Credit Union, with regards to data and analytics?
One thing that I've appreciated with a lot of the partners that we work for or work with is that they have this at the forefront of their minds too. They understand how important this has been to us and how important it is to several organizations. And so they've invested the tools into getting us what we need. For us specifically, one thing that we are always asking about when we're looking at partnering with someone is data extracts, right? If you have it within your platform and you're using a web-based platform and it's a pretty graph, that's fantastic. But how can I take the data that's in your system, marry it with data that I have in other systems to produce even more well-defined information? And so we have been seeking partners that offer those opportunities as well, that it's not enough to just display it, but also to provide it to us so that we can ingest it and work through it.
So let's take a short break here and recognize the sponsor of this podcast, Alchemy Technologies.
The Jim Stroud Podcast explores the discoveries and trends forming the future of our lives. Brain-to-brain communication, robot bosses, microchip implants for workers, and artificial intelligence replacing human workers are all happening now. If you want to know what's happening next, subscribe now to the Jim Stroud Podcast.
Welcome back to the Fissionaries Podcast, sponsored by Alchemy Technology. You know, it's interesting. It doesn't matter if it's a data analytics or it's a specific product or maybe a solution in the marketplace. You know, most of these questions are thought to be able to be answered by your core provider. And I know from a personal basis that when you try to sell this internally, that we need to partner with Alchemy for this situation with regard to data and analytics and actually finding solutions out there. Your management could easily say, yeah, but our core provider should be able to provide it. Why should we double invest in this solution? How did you answer that question? And how do you continue to answer that question?
for us, and for me in particular, it's showing what's not available in core. You know, core is great. There's a lot of stuff that's there. But then it's also not only what is available and what isn't available, but it's also the ability to mine it. A partner is going to bring best practices, you know, in mining their data, as well as the data that they're collecting. They're also going to bring best practices for certain analytics or reports or various things that you may need. And you don't necessarily get that from your core, because your core is doing everything. And so they're just kind of a data dump. Here's it all. Here's everything you got. And then you're left to kind of figure it out and put it together. And I think that that's companies like Alchemy or other partners that are providing data to us. They're also giving us best practice. And I think that that's a big help in that. And that's a big sales tool, a selling tool when talking to others about this is what they bring as an added benefit that maybe our core doesn't have.
Yeah, it's like a crowdsourcing capability where you take Google Maps or something of that nature, and you say, you know, it's better to go down the road with insight from everybody that's gone down this road in the last 10 minutes as opposed to simply going it alone. And we find that that really helps, especially small organizations that don't have massive marketing departments, massive data analytics departments, massive departments doing research on what's going on in the marketplace. You know, you're finding this out in real time, and it benefits both parties to have a situation where they share their successes so that you can succeed and then invest more into the solution. So, you know, we know that predictive analytics and automating processes can really impact the bottom line with regard to churn and cross-sell, onboarding, and even acquisition. Can you talk a little bit about some specific solutions that you've seen at Florida Credit Union that really have been kind of like an attaboy for the department that runs this, and there's your success stories?
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of times acquisition is a big piece. You know, you need to bring new business in. So we've utilized data and analytics as far as casting that net. We had to analyze what's working. So, you know, for example, we analyzed our membership that had credit cards, right? We're looking at expanding our portfolio. So we had to sit there and analyze who the different segments of our membership were and how they were using the card, to then turn around, develop programs that meet those needs or attract those members, and then cast out the wide net to say, okay, well, this is the profile. This is the person that's using this type of card. Now cast that out and try to bring those people in to use that program. And even within our organization and outside. So you got the new member acquisition. You also got acquisition within the organization, people that aren't using it today. And I think that that's one way that we've done that. Another thing in growing our loan portfolio, we've worked with some partners where we're able to gather data and analytics from Equifax. We've gathered data and analytics from our core, and we've been able to offer through our online banking portal, provide loan offers to our members. Some of them are instant offers. Some of them are instant approve and instant fund, same day type loan scenarios. Also, some are, you know, take a little bit of time. You know, it might be finding a new car or a new boat or something, but we're able to give them the pre-approval right through the system. So, you know, part of this is timing, right? You know, you can have all the data and analytics in the world, but if you don't present that opportunity at the right time to that individual, then they're not going to take it, you know? So by being able to develop those pre-approval and put them in our app and then advertise that they're there. If you want this, go click on it, essentially, that draws the members that are actually looking at that point in time to go. So those are a couple of things that we've done, though. I think that we've seen some success, some great success off of in growing the loan portfolio and the cards portfolio.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I come from the old school of marketing where we did programs. So we do equity credit in the fall. We do car loans in the spring. We all this stuff was program-based. Well, now with data analytics, you can really make this an ongoing process where you're continually running the program to find, as you said, the timing being right, the channels being right, the message being right. And part of this has to do with actually moving from simply deploying new marketing or same marketing messages to a more refined audience to actually trying to build engagement. We talk about this a lot in the podcast where we're really moving from a time where we're trying to create great experiences to better engagement, better back and forth interaction, communication, where data analytics can drive content. Are you doing anything like that at FLCU where you're really trying to build more ongoing engagement as opposed to simply pushing out marketing messages?
Yeah, yes, I would say that we are. Aside from pushing out the message, you know, we are constantly working through the same programs, you know, and providing the similar messages, but maybe over a span period of time, rather than focusing on one area and then another area, we're trying to take a holistic approach because you might have many needs too. You know, and so also during those engagements, what we're trying to do is, you know, we have a robust cross-selling program, for example. The hook to bring people in may have been the auto loan or the new account or whatever the case. But when we go through and we analyze, we're looking at their credit report or we're talking to them, we're finding out what those other needs are. And we're trying to offer those products at that point in time. Maybe it's those people that don't realize they need it. And you're trying to build that experience or that engagement or that, you know, to try to show them this is how this could help you. This is how you may need it. And I think that's valuable.
Well, it's exciting, too, because what you become is almost like a financial services concierge. You're looking for the opportunities that the member may not even have known exist right now and provide them a solution on their behalf. And what we're talking a lot about is putting more empathy into it, which really, when you think about it, is the foundation upon which the credit union industry is built. It's built for the members and on behalf of the members. But having more access to data really allows you the opportunity to take this to the next level, more than you ever could have done, even if you're meeting one-to-one, unless you had a deep conversation with a consumer. You know, it's also interesting, when you look at data and analytics, we're moving into a realm where the insights, the holy grail of knowing about each member may not just be the domain of your IT department or your marketing department. Have you done anything at FLCU around deploying insights or recommendations beyond simply a marketing realm or an IT realm into maybe the branches, into product areas or other places?
Absolutely. So, you know, because we're taking the data and we're working through it and we're developing our products or we're developing our services or we're developing the way to reach out to people. And then we do share that across the organization. So, you know, we're sharing that in our indirect department when they're interacting with members, they have an opportunity to talk to our members about other services that we offer once the loan is funded. In the event you have at the branch level too, we're sharing a lot of the insights with them to say, you know, this is what our members are asking for. We're also getting information from them too. I look at our branches and our frontline as an excellent source of getting information too, right? It's not the same as the data and analytics that you're producing from the software, but it's more of a grassroots, like, you know, the members are telling us, this is what I want, right? You know, we like doing focus groups. I do focus groups with staff and, you know, and we haven't been able to bring in members quite yet on those focus groups, but we want to do that too, where we're just interviewing the member directly, but you're getting the source of information. You're also passing down what the results of that information are via training sessions. And, you know, we get the opportunity to kind of broadcast to our entire employee base some of the things that we're doing and why we're doing it. You know, and I think that data is kind of displayed there and why we're doing what we're doing.
It is very clear in just this short discussion with you that Florida Credit Union is punching above its weight with regard to using data analytics for building really good customer experiences and member engagement. This doesn't just happen in a vacuum. We talked about this before we started the podcast, that you need leadership that believes in all this. You know, what has made the difference with regard to why does leadership see data analytics as being important, but you also are working in the digital channel area? A lot of these things take a complete mindset change compared to what was done even 20 years ago when you started with Florida Credit Union. How important is that? And what do you think the key is to why your organization is really looking beyond today?
Our organization is very forward-thinking. Our leadership is very forward-thinking. They're very in tune with the industry. One of the things, though, and I feel like I've heard this since the beginning of my career here from leadership here at the credit union is, you know, you can't manage what you can't measure, right? And that's what data analytics is bringing to you. It's the measurement of what you're doing. It's the measurement of what's happening in the industry and what's happening out there to be able to grow your business and work through it. You know, I feel like we've kind of always had this constantly measuring how things are going, constantly measure what's out there, constantly looking forward to what's out there. You know, the position that I am now was created under that premise. They're like, we need to know what's out in the marketplace and we need you to go research that and find that for us. So, you know, I think that that's key. I think, you know, it's been, we talk about big data as it were. We talk about that at the leadership level. They're discussing it in their meetings. You know, they're talking with our board of directors about it. So everybody kind of has this level of importance placed on our data and analytics. So that way we can make good decisions. I mean, it really is the key to decision making.
So two questions we ask every one of our podcast guests on the Fishionary podcast. Number one, what is on your radar in 2023 to improve upon what we've just discussed today?
So improving upon data and analytics, obviously one of the areas that we're constantly looking on is further digging into it, right? What do we have available to us? Can we get more information available to us? Specifically, you know, with some of the initiatives that we have, it's going to take analyzing that data to understand it, you know, especially when you're looking for a partner to work with to offer a new service. I'm referring to, you know, if you want to offer a new service, when you're looking for a partner, you get a lot of data from them and that's well and good, but you have to understand how it's going to work in your market with your members and in your area, right? So for us in 2023, you know, we have some big initiatives around our card program and around the payment space. And payments are just ever fast changing environment. And you know, it can be difficult to keep up with that, right? You're constantly trying to absorb new information there. And I think that understanding how our membership is using those services are going to be key for us when we make those decisions and decide on those partners or how we're going to build the infrastructure for specifically looking at real-time payments.
And finally, what recommendations do you give banks and credit unions that are trying to build a better data-led future and culture? And what do you think will define the winners in this race?
I think the winners in the race are going to be those that, as we talked about, your partners provide a lot of data. Your core provides a lot of data to you. If you haven't devoted the time and effort to sit down and look at it and analyze it, then you're not going to be any better off than where you started. So I think that your winners are going to be your people that are really taking that in and making decisions based on the data, not only in the industry, but also in their market or with their membership. So my recommendation there would be to take a holistic approach to it, right? You're getting data from your partners and that's fantastic, but there's more. You're getting data from your core, but there's more. You get your data from your membership themselves. We've talked about that too. There's more. And there's always going to be a lot. You have to distill it, figure out what your goal is in it and what you're trying to solve for, and drill down into that data to see the answers that you're looking for to really define those answers. So my recommendation would be to take a holistic approach to it, take it in for all the various sources, distill it down for what you're looking for, and then make sure you, once you see the answer, if it's telling you something then that's different than what you think you should see, that's okay. You know, then you pivot and you work through your decision a different way.
Matthew, thank you so much for being on the Fishionary podcast today. Really appreciate spending some time with you. And I'll look forward to seeing where you are a year from now. But I'd probably just be another line item on your career path. But it's it says a lot, as we talked about before the podcast, when somebody's been with an organization basically their whole career, it says a lot about the organization, but it also says a lot about you. So looking forward to seeing how you grow and how you help your organization grow, but also seeing how Florida Credit Union really expands their use of data analytics to the benefit of their members. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to the Fishionary podcast. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into all the tips and tricks you can use to elevate your digital game. If you enjoyed the episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share with others within your organization or beyond. Post about it on social media or leave a thumbs up and comment. I'm your host, Jim Marus. Until next time, remember, customers and members expect you to know them, understand their needs, and to reward them. The question is, are you prepared? Thanks again, and we'll chat with you next time on the Visionaries Podcast.